Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for joining us. Well, the last time you came from the airport, did you think about how your baggage got from the plane to the carousel? Or maybe think about how the folks have to clean up that airplane in between trips, right? Then one group gets off, they have to clean it before you get on. At Miami and Fort Lauderdale International Airports, many of these employees work with a company called Yulin America. Well, a CBS4 investigation into the working conditions found that many Yulin employees face horrible conditions. They have roaches in their working vans, lack of access to drinking water on the job. They'll work 5 to 6 hour shifts at a time on the hot airline tarmac and not even get a break. Congresswoman Donna Shalala, Representative Frederica Wilson, along with Miami-Dade County Commissioner Eileen Higgins, held a press conference at MIA today to discuss the working conditions of Yulin America employees. And by the way, you can see the investigation by CBS4's Jim DeFede on our social media, WLRN Sundial. We've reached out to Yulin America for comment about these working conditions. We received the following response. Thank you very much for your interest, but we are not going to make any statement at this moment. We're joined now by Miami-Dade County Commissioner Eileen Higgins. Commissioner Higgins, great to have you back.
Thank you for having me.
Wish it was on better situation, but
so do I.
Still an important story to talk about. When and where did you first hear about these issues at the airport?
So I actually heard about them over a year ago when I just started my run to become a county commissioner. I met with quite a few of the workers and they began to tell me about their worries about working for Yulin in particular. We have many other employees at the airport, but there was something to this Yulin piece. And I promised them if I got elected, I would look into it and I would learn more about it. So early in December, we finally convinced enough workers to be brave enough to go on a tour of the airport. So all of the outside areas, the airports, where on the ramps, where the airports are, where you're loading and unloading luggage, where you're cleaning the planes, et cetera, et cetera. So everywhere where the Yulin workers are working for us. And they were able to show me, you know, the difficulties. I was able to look at some of the vehicles that I'm no mechanic, but they looked a little ratty to me. I certainly saw that some of them didn't have functioning seat belts. And then we went into the break room, which was the only place where they can get anything, any water to drink, which they are not provided when they're outside in the tarmac. Doesn't matter how many hours they're out there, 5 or 6 hours, there's no water on any of the vehicles, which seems silly to me. So went into the break room, and the Yulin supervisor there literally, like, stood up, marched across the room to our group and said, there's going to be some trouble here.
So this is
to me,
this person walked up to you,
to our group where I,
a congresswoman to
no, just me.
Oh, just you. Okay,
I'm there,
okay,
as county commissioner. So
right,
it's just me with several of the workers. I'm, by the way, on an official airport visit, right? So, I mean, I'm there with airport personnel. And then another gentleman comes up, just does that whole intimidation, towers really close to me, towers over me to try to get me to back out of the break room. And he says to me, this is private property. You cannot be here. Well, it's not private property. The airport is our property, the people's property. Like, you own it, I own it.
Did they know who you are? Did they understand what was going on?
I don't know if they knew who I was. It actually doesn't make any difference, right? The idea that you would instantly see a human being and try to intimidate them without any reason. Do I look intimidating? Most people don't find me very intimidating. But that day, just, I thought, oh my gosh, if they are willing to do this to me, imagine what it must feel like to be a worker and you're paying your bills, right? I mean, this is a job.
Let's remember, too, as I mentioned, that a lot of these workers for Yulin America, they're the baggage handlers,
yeah,
the cleaning crew on the planes. This is a company that I mean, they employ a lot of people at MIA.
Yes, thousands.
And it's a family-owned business.
It's I don't know what kind of family would treat employees like this. I mean, no family business that I've ever been associated with.
And what airlines are they contracted with?
So there's several airlines that they're contracted with at MIA, but in particular, obviously American and then Delta. And I'm off the top of my head there, maybe it's Air France, but there's a few others. We also have four other companies that do this work at the airport. And so those companies, we are not receiving the kinds of complaints and worries about working conditions or lack of respect for the workers or in the case of safety on the vehicles. So it's clear this work can be done.
Is this the first time you had gone to the airport to see it for yourself?
Yes, the behind the scenes. Okay. Yes, that was my first visit there. And then I, of course, wrote a letter to Yulin's CEO. At least they emailed you back and said they're not going to respond. They just ignored my letter. So, of course, they never responded. I basically talked about what had happened to me and then reported all the stories I'd been hearing from the workers. And I asked for them to meet with the workers, right? That's how you resolve issues. You get together and you talk about them. And then I asked if they would please let me know how these conversations have gone. So we were ignored for months. And that's when several of us thought we perhaps need to elevate this situation and into the media. And maybe that will actually help the people who own Yulin to pay attention to how they treat our residents.
One of the things, too, is as you were telling me before we started, is that there are a lot of workers who are afraid to speak up. How many came forward and started talking to you and then took you on this tour?
So I, early on, probably had heard 9 or 10 stories. On the tour, there were 3 that were willing to do that. And I can see why they were intimidated. The idea that once we were kind of intimidated out of the break room, they followed us around the airport. They continued to follow us, so just eyes on us and on these workers. And one of the workers already had his pay reduced. So there are real life implications to speaking up at a company like this. And so that's why it took a while, but we just convinced some workers to go on camera and show their face. And others were too afraid to show their face. But now, thankfully, with the new CBS story, today we had our roundtable where we listened to more and more stories with the 2 congresswomen. And there were probably 10 workers there, all in public, sharing their stories. And my office phone has rung off the hook yesterday with other workers calling in to say, it's real, it's real. So I do feel as if you in the media sharing this story is actually making them feel braver about telling their tales.
Watching that investigation, one of the things I was thinking about was at least some of the workers that they had spoken with could only speak in Spanish.
Yes.
I wondered how much the language barrier played a role, and that maybe that some of these folks were recent immigrants, not really understanding how worker rights works in this country and what they can and cannot do.
Well, at least on all of my visits to the airport, they're all in Spanish pretty much 100% with these workers at MIA. So many of them are recent immigrants. Some of them have worked for the company for some time. So certainly there may be some kind of a language barrier, but they are able to communicate and their supervisors speak Spanish. So there really isn't, right? We can communicate how we can manage properly. Language is not an impediment to running a good business, right? It can be done. It's also a Spanish company. Everybody speaks Spanish. So they can run their workforce and their properly.
But the workers, do they have any understanding of, again, the laws in this country and worker rights?
So I believe through the work of SEIU 32BJ, the union, they have instructed many of the workers in what their rights are, but they still feel intimidated. As a matter of fact, one gentleman today at our roundtable talked about, they just ask you, well, are you part of the union? And he felt compelled to lie that he'd ever talked to anyone in the union. You know, you'll be on a list. So they are afraid of losing their jobs. I mean, let's be real here. People are paying their rent and putting food on the table. And if they miss a day or their shifts are cut, most of these workers, they don't even let them be full time. I mean, it's terrible.
And that was one thing that was pointed out, is that they feel that even when they're sick, they have to work.
They have to.
Or they could lose a lot more hours.
They have no sick time. I mean, they don't get paid. If you're sick, you don't get paid.
And as you pointed out, they keep them under, a lot of times, I don't know how many, I didn't get the number, but yeah. they keep some of their employees under 30 hours
yes.
to avoid having to pay the benefits.
Yes, and they are able to theoretically comply with the county's living wage ordinance, which is a great start, but has, I always describe it as a piece of Swiss cheese rather than cheddar. It's filled with holes. And one of those holes in our living wage ordinance is we don't require these large contractors to have X percent of their workforce be full-time. Obviously, you need some part-time workers, but it is a loophole, for lack of a better word, where if you don't want to run a responsible company, you can keep people's hours low, and that keeps them from qualifying for full-time benefits. So. But let's, you know, whatever you can say about the living wage ordinance, we have other companies that do the right thing, and Yulin is not one of them. So they certainly tomorrow could decide their workers have the right to drinking water. They certainly tomorrow could come up with a fumigation plan for their trucks so that the trucks aren't filled with cockroaches nor the break rooms. Like, they don't need to wait around for legislation. They can do the right thing.
I'm talking with Miami-Dade County Commissioner Eileen Higgins. She was joined by Congresswoman Donna Shalala at Miami International Airport discussing working conditions specifically for employees of a company called Yulin America. Now, those conditions were exposed as part of a CBS4 investigation, and you can find a link to that story on our social media, WLRN Sundial. What did come, though, of this visit by the Congresswoman, you know, from their press conference? What did you demand any public action? What's next?
So what the two congresswomen asked for is they actually obviously asked us to begin to look into whether we can improve our living wage, which will require me and several of our other commissioners to do some work to see if we can come up with the 7 votes to enhance that on the commission. So if you care about that, call your commissioner. But the other piece is, they really feel from the congressional point of view is that they need to begin speaking with board members of these big airlines to make sure that we express, and they as congresswomen express, their deep displeasure with how this company is treating our residents.
How much of it is on the airlines contracting these companies? How much of it is on the airport?
So in this case, because it is a contract to an airline, we have some control, but not total control. They are not a concessionaire of the county, in which case we could be more directive with them. So we are reliant on the airlines in this case to make these contracts better. And yes, I do believe with our living wage, if we had required sick leave or paid time off, and if we also had a percentage of workers that would be full time, they would have to comply with that. So part of it's on the county, but not all of it. The airline.
Could you penalize the airlines that are contracting the companies?
I don't know the answer to that. I do know that we issue permits so that a company like Yulin and others are able to provide these services to the airlines. So should any kind of investigation, which, by the way, I spoke with our airport director, who is as distressed as I am. Let's remember, he's been trying to contact Yulin for, you know, to get things changed for some time, and has reached out for a meeting with him, with the CEO as well. Still hasn't heard back, at least when I saw Director Sola this morning, to confirm that meeting, but we're trying. So part of it is on Yulin, and yes, we could strengthen our rules. We also have a permit, but if there are real labor violations or OSHA violations, if there is an investigation in there, then the county will have more standing to do that. One thing that worries me is these split shifts, right? You show up and you work 3 flights, but then your next fleet, you're there for another 2 or 3 hours. You don't get paid for those hours, but you're at the airport until the next couple. So you have split shifts, and so you're working 6 hours, but you're at the airport 10 hours. So how can it be that that's not paid? A lot of questions to be answered, in my opinion.
As you pointed out, too, there's still a fear of coming forward and speaking out, even though more of them have. But as you finish up this, you know, this conversation, again, with congressional leaders as well, is what sense do you get that they have hope? They still have to go back to work, which means they're going to have to deal with those supervisors.
This afternoon, some of them left the meeting and went right to work on the tarmac, literally today.
And it, again,
right after sharing their story,
that concern, that fear that yeah. there may be repercussions.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's scary. For them, it's very scary. And for me, it's very sad and tragic and shameful. And so what everybody, Donna and Frederica, our great congresswoman, they passed out their phone numbers. They told these workers that there should be absolutely no repercussions against them for speaking up, and they should call them directly should $1 be taken away, 1 hour of a shift be taken away, anything. So we are standing with them. I think they're not alone. And by them sharing their stories, we are able to stand with them. When everything is kept in the shadows and not talked about openly, we can't fix those problems. So I feel as if we're moving in a good direction. I mean, we still have that company that has to change.
For you, what's next?
For me, what's next is to continue to work with our airport director to make sure that he is successful in securing a meeting with Yulin. To continue to me, I'm meeting again with the workers. I'm going to be with them next Monday just to see if anything has changed from today. So for me, I'm a pair of eyes. I intend to be watching, and I expect that there's absolutely no negative repercussions, that working conditions cannot get any worse and workers cannot be retaliated against. And I intend to, you know, make sure that doesn't happen to the best of my abilities.
By any chance, did you happen to resolve any of the issues with that supervisor who intimidated you?
No.
Okay.
I'm assuming he's learned his lesson.
You know what? Before we finish up here, I wanted to ask you about this. There's a new report from the Creative Class Group out of FIU's Metropolitan Center, and it finds that Miami is the second highest measure of economic inequality of any large metro area in the country. You probably already know this. I'm curious as to, you know, how are you working to promote opportunities for upward mobility and attracting companies that are going to come in and pay their employees an adequate wage?
Well, it's fascinating. We actually just started a project on my team to begin analyzing what communities that are generating or accelerating what I would call small business growth, because there's two tactics. You can be attracting companies to come here. You can also be taking a 10-person company and turning it into a 20-person company, or a 20-person company and turning it into a 50-person company. And so we've been looking at what other communities are doing that have faster small business growth, to see what structurally they're doing that we are not doing in the county. And so we're just beginning that work. Because I have those same questions. We have to have good, high-paying jobs here. And when I actually ask small business owners, well, if you had to go get help to grow your small business, who are the top five people you would call? I have never met a single person that lists Miami-Dade County on the list. And we should be there. You know, it's certainly the private sector and the educational sector and all of that. But the fact that no one gives me the answer I'm looking for tells me that there's work to be done. Commissioner Edmondson set up a new community disparities subcommittee. And one of the topics we are going to be analyzing, she made me the chair of that committee, is this sort of economic development and how do we do that. And so I've got a couple speakers coming in, and that will be happening over the next few months. So don't have all the answers now, but trying to do some research so that I know what might be a good answer to propose.
Work on getting a little bit more love for the county. We've been talking with Miami-Dade County Commissioner Eileen Higgins, again, joining us today, talking about a very powerful story coming out of the Miami International Airport, and looking at how one company in particular, Yulin America, is allegedly treating its employees and not giving them the kind of working conditions that you would expect to see for anybody that any worker would deserve. Commissioner Higgins, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
And by the way, you could see the story from CBS4, their investigation into this, on our social media at WLRN Sundial.